Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Dr. Matthew Saltzman. Matt, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing well, Lisa. How are you?
I work every day in physical therapy just thinking when I see him on the 31st, I better have made some progress. Because I remember you saying to me that you will do your work and you are the best and you will get it done. And then it's up to me. So I'm trying to hold up my end of the bargain.
I'm sure you're doing a good job.
So, Dr. Saltzman, you're a shoulder and elbow surgeon at Northwestern. And after my surgery, I thought, well, I need to know something about this guy. And I thought I read that you are a third generation surgeon. Your grandfather and your dad were also surgeons?
So actually, Lisa, second generation. My father is a retired orthopedic surgeon, but it's just the two of us. I do have a sister who's a physical therapist.
Oh, wow. Nice. And you have a great assistant by the name of Evan who has been a lifeline for me. So throw HIPAA out the window. Tell everybody what you saw when you took the MRI and looked at my arm and my shoulder.
Sure. So you had a very bad fracture. It's a four-part proximal humerus fracture, and that basically is the worst type of fracture that we can see in that body part. So it means it's broken into multiple different pieces, very hard to put back together, hence the reason why we recommended a shoulder replacement for you.
And it's a reverse shoulder replacement. Tell me about that, because honestly, I started to do a deep dive a couple weeks ago, and then I thought, do I have a rotator cuff? Do I not have a rotator? What's the deal? What is a reverse shoulder replacement?
Yes, it sounds like a funny concept, but it actually helps us treat a lot of difficult problems in the shoulder. So basically the ball and socket, the orientation that we normally have in our native anatomy is reversed. So the ball is where the socket was and the socket is where the ball was. And it sounds like a very strange concept, but it works biomechanically. And we use it for people who have rotator cuff tears, as you suggested. So if you have a chronic rotator cuff tear, sometimes if it can't be repaired, a reverse shoulder replacement can help you to regain overhead motion. Now, over time, we've also found out that we can use this for fractures. So it's very effective at treating the type of fracture that you had, where, as I said, it's challenging to put the pieces back together, but you can repair it around a reverse shoulder replacement, and the outcomes are actually quite good.
Well, I trust that all of your outcomes are good. Hang on a second. We're going to check weather and traffic with Mary. We're going to come back, continue our conversation with Dr. Matthew Saltzman. If you have a question about a shoulder or an elbow, text it 312-981-7200. And to all of you who have texted and shared your injury stories, my gosh, what people face every day is more than you can imagine. And sometimes we don't realize that we could be next. And there's a text message that really connected with me. I'll share that with you next.
Lindholm Roofing has appointments available now to provide you a complete roofing, siding, gutter, and tuck pointing inspection. Call 773-283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com. Tell them that Lou sent you. Lindholm Roofing, their family has your family covered.
I fell on January 8th. I never imagined it would take this long to get back into action. Doc, thanks for joining us. At Physical Therapy Now, I notice a lot of women with shoulder injuries. Is it even, or are we falling more? What's happening?
It's a good question, Lisa. It's actually pretty evenly distributed. I'd say we see roughly the same number of men as women with these types of injuries.
And I see a lot of people who have shoulder replacement surgery, and they're a year out, and they're like, look, I can do this and this and this and this. And I'm like, oh, that's fantastic. I have a feeling with reverse shoulder replacement surgery, I might have limitations in the future. Will I be able to put my hand behind my back fully?
Yes, you will, Lisa. So you're still in the earlier phases of rehab, plus you had a fracture that takes longer to heal than somebody who has a shoulder replacement for arthritis or rotator cuff tear. So by the time you're a year out, I would fully expect you to be able to bring your hand up your back.
Oh, my gosh. That's a relief.
Something to look forward to.
Yeah, I cannot wait for that. Because I told people, I'm like, look, I just was able to start putting my own bra on about a week and a half ago. And the little things you become thankful for. One of our texters said, They were at a conference on disabilities. A speaker said we are all TABS, temporarily able-bodied individuals. We all have the capacity to become temporarily or permanently disabled due to an accident or illness at any time in your life. We all walk a fine line, hoping for a quick recovery for you and your spouse. And that is true. I never thought, because most of us wouldn't, that I would have to get an ADA seat on a train, you know, or you know, look and make sure that things were ADA compliant. It's a whole new world, and I'm sorry I cried in your office about about being a good patient or a bad patient. There's a lot of emotional stuff that comes with an injury like this, isn't there?
Absolutely, and there's nothing to be sorry about. You had a very bad injury, and the thing when you have a fracture is it's an acute loss of function. You're normal, and then 1 second later you have a slip and a fall, and the fracture changes, you know, the next year or so of your life, and that's a lot different than somebody who, say, has an arthritic shoulder and it's painful for years or decades. So for you, it's a big change, and it's an abrupt change.
Somebody on the text line said many women's shoulder issues are related to menopause and the loss of estrogen or bone density. Is there truth to that?
Well, there is an entity called adhesive capsulitis, which most people know by the common name, which is frozen shoulder, and that certainly is more common in perimenopausal women, and that's something where you lose function in your shoulder and usually lose motion, so that's a very common diagnosis for perimenopausal women.
Dr. Matthew Saltzman is with us from Northwestern. He's my surgeon. And honestly, doctor, how did we find you? Because I am that freak that if I'm going to have a surgery, I'm planning a year out. I'm trying to find the best doctor. I'm preparing. And of course, with a traumatic injury like this, I just made a few phone calls and hope for the best. So how is it that I became lucky enough to have you as my surgeon?
Well, I was very fortunate to meet you, and you've been wonderful, Lisa. So the way that it worked is my practice manager reached out and said, because often we do have bad injuries, and said, would you be willing to see this person? I said, of course I would. And he said, she also is, you know, radio personality, and she's going to be coming in from a distance. I said, sure, no problem. So, I was happy to meet you in that capacity.
Yeah, and I really got a taste of rural health care because the hospital where I was transported to said they absolutely could not touch me. These are wonderful people, but they only have one trauma surgeon for maybe 200 miles in every direction, maybe less than that, maybe 100 miles. It's different in hospitals other than Northwestern when it comes to diagnostics or even the ability to perform what seems to be a pretty serious surgery. Do you see that changing anytime, or is the fear that most people share in rural areas that it's getting worse because of loss of funding?
Well, I think, you know, we have a lot of great specialists at Northwestern. I've been fortunate to work there for 17 years, and that allows me to focus just on shoulder surgery. So when we see a complex injury like the one that you had, I feel very comfortable taking care of it because we've done it many, many times in the past. As far as rural surgeons and rural medical providers, I think that this type of surgery is becoming more commonplace. So maybe it will be more common in the future. But certainly when you're in a rural center, there may not be enough expertise to perform some of these procedures.
Dr. Saltzman, one of our texters said they're 77 and they have a shoulder problem, and their friends put the fear in them and said, oh, you're too old for shoulder surgery. 77 is not too old for shoulder surgery, is it?
Certainly not. I just did a shoulder replacement this morning on an 86-year-old, so it's not too old. In fact, it's very common for people in that age range to have shoulder pain and need shoulder surgery.
And I hear people talk about frozen shoulders, torn rotator cuffs, arthritis, and then, of course, a situation where it's a traumatic injury like mine. Are those about the four top causes that would prompt someone to get a shoulder replaced?
Yes. It's typically either arthritis, fracture, or a rotator cuff tear, or some combination.
Interesting. And and I got to tell you, I never knew an operating room was that big. I'm that person who only had surgery once for cancer, and I never opened my eyes in an operating room. Is that an unusually big operating room where I had my surgery? Because I felt like it was massive and people were running. People were busy. Everybody had a job. And then the next thing I know, I was listening to my favorite song and I went to sleep. But It's a large room. I perceived it to be a small room, or was that just where they could fit me in that day?
Well, that's where I work. It's the Lavin Pavilion at Northwestern. So I would say it's an average size operating room. Certainly we have some very nice facilities, but what you experience is absolutely true. There's a lot of people working around you simultaneously to get you ready for surgery. So I think that sort of gives you the perception that it's very big, because there are quite a few people in the operating room at any given time.
Yeah, everybody's working. Everybody's got a job. And I would imagine, like, the devices that you put in that you told me are titanium and aluminum to replace my shoulder. In case you're just tuning in, I got a reverse shoulder replacement. They come in all different sizes. So if it was a little kid, you'd have the right size. If it was someone who was 6'6", you'd have the right size. How many sizes do they come in, or are we all more similar than we think?
Well, there are quite a few sizes, and as you recall, Lisa, we got a CT scan of your shoulder, and that helped us not only understand the fracture pattern and what we were dealing with, but it also helps us size the implant. So there's a lot of computer software now where you can virtually implant before you do the surgery and say, this is the size that we're going to need for Lisa. And we have all of those options available. So if we need to adjust the sizes, we can do so on the fly in the operating room. But we usually have a pretty good sense of what size we're going to use based on that CT scan.
Interesting. So the 17 years you've been doing this, you've seen technology change and help you do your job better?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So that 3D planning software that I was talking about, that's new in the last 10 years. We now have custom implants. So for whatever reason, the size doesn't fit somebody, we can have it manufactured specifically for that patient. And so, yes, the implants have definitely evolved over that time frame.
Well, thank you so much for your dedication and your attention to detail, and I'm thankful for technology as well, but I wouldn't be back on the air today if it wasn't for you, so I just wanted to thank you publicly.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me, Lisa. Appreciate it.
That's Dr. Matthew Saltzman of Northwestern. You have a shoulder issue or an elbow issue? I was lucky enough to somehow be sent in his direction, but you can search him and seek him out and get an opinion from him.